All right. It is good to see everyone this morning and glad you are with us, those that are in our building. Those of you that are listening on our website, we just praise God for all of you. And today we're looking at a message entitled The First Step of Faith. We're going to start out in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, bounce over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And we're going to review a little bit about our faith. We're looking at faith, the divine supernatural ability given to us by God. Paul says to every man is given a measure of faith. Faith is not part of my natural senses. I have five natural senses, but as a child of God, I have a sixth spiritual sense, which is called faith. Faith is a power, it is an ability, and it is an energy to see, know, believe, and do certain things in the spiritual realm of my life. We need to recognize it, we need to understand what faith is, and we need to live by our faith. So as we progress through this series that we've been in for the last couple of months, we're moving to the part which would literally come under the heading faith in action. Faith in action. If faith's not in action in your life, it's not doing you any good. Many, many Christians that go to church every Sunday do not live by their faith. Do not live in their faith. Do not operate in the energy of faith. They live natural lives. Paul calls those folks natural Christians, carnal Christians. So let's look at the scripture and then we'll move forward today. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul quoting here the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 14. And the personal pronoun is used in the Old Testament. And it says this, the just shall live by his faith. We are to live our lives by the energy of our faith. We are to live in our faith. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Faith is an energy. Faith is an ability given unto man every measure of faith. Faith is like the bicep. Faith is a muscle. Everybody's got one. But if you don't exercise it, some folks' biceps are larger than others, stronger than others. And so we must exercise our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk and live by our faith. So what I want you to understand is, if you're going to walk by faith, our faith should be the energy and the entity that leads us through our lives. We are to walk in harmony with our faith, but we are to walk in the energy of the obedience of our faith. And I'm going to show you the first step of faith today, hopefully, good Lord willing, after we review. Let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as I call upon you today, I bow before you, Lord. And as I bow my head and my soul and my spirit to you, I acknowledge your lordship and your authority over my life. Even though there are times I'm disobedient. And so I ask, Lord Jesus, for forgiveness of my daily sin and weekly sin of this past week. Now, Father, in our closet, I confess these things to you out loud. And they're hard to say. Because I have to say, against you and you only have I sinned. But 1 John tells me, if I confess my sin and acknowledge that you are right and holy and moral and I am wrong, your precious blood cleanses me of all sin. So I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cleansing by the precious blood of Jesus. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will change me, Father. That you will change the carnality of my fallen nature and crucify my flesh and replace these areas and these things with the righteousness of God by your Spirit. But Father, right now I ask for your Holy Spirit to fill me and anoint me and to be upon me. And Father, I pray to be used of you as a servant to wash the feet of the people who are listening. Holy Spirit, take over in the quietness of this moment. Let us all say, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, what do I need to hear from you today? Holy Spirit, we thank you, we praise you. Father, I pray for your anointing, body, soul, and spirit, for your glory, only for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to review pretty quickly here. And we want to understand what our faith is. What is our faith? Because in Hebrews 11, 1, the Hebrew writer says, now faith is. And you know, a lot of people say, yeah, I've got faith. And they're talking about faith in a general way. They're talking about how they believe about God. They'll say, I believe in God. And what they mean is they believe in God's existence. But faith is so, so much more. Now, Hebrews 11, 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I just want to grab that for you again. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. Would you say that with me? Faith is the evidence of things unseen. Your faith deals in the realm of the unseen. Now, I'm not even bringing God into it yet. But your faith dwells in the realm of the unseen. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Faith is an ability. It's given to man. It is a spiritual sixth sense. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says this, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. God is invisible, the invisible God. We see God in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. He created the visible things and the invisible things, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before and above all things, and by Him all things consist. So I want you to grab verse 16, that He created both visible and invisible entities. In God's creation, there exists both seen and unseen realities. I'm here today to talk to you about the unseen realities. And I want you to understand something, that the unseen realities are just as real, they're just as genuine, and they're just as authentic as the seen realities. Now, I want you to understand, I say with Peter today, that I'm in love with somebody I cannot see. Peter talks to us about Jesus and he says, whom having not seen, you love. And so we're talking about the unseen God and the invisible realities of God. So faith is the divine supernatural ability given to us by God. Faith is the divine supernatural ability given to us by God to grasp, apprehend, and perceive with certainty the unseen things of God. And I want you to emphasize with certainty. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Leo? Well, let's go back to Hebrews 11 and let's look. And you're going to be astounded about how strong your faith is. And the only way you can believe and know with certainty what I'm about to read to you you've got to have this element, this entity of faith operating in your life. So in Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the certain and direct evidence of things that I cannot see. In verse 3 it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And I'm going to stop right there. I want you to understand, faith allows me to see the unseen past. And you say, Rolil, what do you mean by that? I'm standing before you right now, and you know what I'm about to tell you? God, without a doubt, created the heaven and the earth. And you say, Rolil, how do you know that? You weren't there. There's no scientific proof. There's no way you can prove that God created the heaven and the earth. My friend, I don't need to prove it. I know it happened. I know it happened about a little over 6,000 years ago. I know my God did it. I know He spoke it out of nothing. And here it came. And He said, let there be light. And there was light. And I'm telling you today with certainty, I know that I know that I know. And I'll never back down from that reality and that fact. And you say, well, Brother Leo, how do you know that? That's my faith. I'm not wondering, I'm not hoping, I'm knowing. Amen. Now, if you're wondering or you're hoping or you're saying things to please religious people, you don't have faith. And you're not operating in your faith. I want to say something else about the past that I know. I know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ hung on a cross. And while He was on that cross, I cannot understand how He did it, but He carried the whole world's sins, the whole humanity of sin, from Adam until the last person that ever lives. And as He carried that sin on His body, He faced judgment, He faced hell, He faced God's condemnation for every sin that's ever going to be committed. I don't know how He did it, but I know He did it. And I know He had my sins upon His body on that cross. And I know that I know that I know that by the precious blood of Jesus, I'm cleansed from the judgment of my sin, and that I can one day go to heaven. I know 3 days later He rose from the dead. Well, how do you know that? I know that by my faith. I've read it, I've studied it, and the Holy Spirit in me tells me and ascertains within me and affirms within me Jesus Christ came out of the grave alive. So by my faith, I can say with certainty what happened in the past. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange land. In verse 10, it says, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And if you go to, let's see, where did I want to go after that? Go with me to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. What's all that mean, Brother Lil? Faith not only allows me to see with certainty a past that I wasn't a part of, faith allows me to see with certainty a future that I've not got to yet. I'm standing here right now telling you, I'm not wondering about it. I know there exists a heaven and I know there exists a hell. Yeah. Well, Brother Leo, how do you know that? I know that by my faith. My faith allows me to read and study and to come to a conclusion with certainty. I know that one day I'm going to die and I'm going to go to heaven. I know that my brothers and sisters who have died before me, they're in heaven already. I know the future. I know Jesus is coming back. I know there's going to be a 1,000-year reign on earth and Jesus will rule from Jerusalem. I know that I know the future. But I want you to understand that faith allows us to do even more. Look at what it goes on to say in verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And in verse 27 it says this, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured the hardships of his life as one who could see someone who was invisible. You say, well, what does that have to do with the past? What does that have to do with the future? Nothing. That deals with the present. By my faith, I go through life knowing that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Knowing that He is here with me right now, and He's here with me in ICU, and He's here with me at the funeral home. I, by faith, know that as I live my life today, all things are working together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. And by my faith, I live today and I pray today because I know with God nothing shall be impossible. So faith is an energy. It is a divine supernatural gift given to you by God that allows you to see, experience, perceive, and believe with certainty the unseen realities that are part of the past, that are part of the future, and that are a part of your present. So by my faith, I know that I know that I know. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you agree with me about everything I've just said, you want to just pause right now and say, thank you, Jesus, for my faith. Because you got faith. And your faith is alive and it's operating. And you don't need to discount it. A lot of times we beat ourselves up spiritually. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul is showing you a perspective that his faith gives him about life. And in verse 17, he's talking about some of the hard times he's been through, but he calls them a light affliction. Verse 16, for which cause we don't quit as we go through life. We faint not. But though our outward man perishes day by day, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For this is a light affliction that I'm going through. Now, what was this light affliction? He'd been in prison unjustly. He was in a dungeon. He was denied food. He was whipped. He was scourged. And he lost family, fame, money, everything. But he calls it a light affliction because it's working a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because I'm not looking at the things which I'm seeing. I mean, I'm seeing them. I'm going through all this. But my faith allows my mind to go beyond this. And I'm looking at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen, which are seen, are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, verse 1. For I know that if my earthly body, my earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if these people kill me, I have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So his faith is giving him a perspective about how he's looking at the horizontal things of life, knowing that this one thing, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how much you go through, you can stand up and by faith say, I know this is not all there is. Now I want to praise God for that. There are people down in Florida, they've lost everything they've got. People in the islands have lost everything they've got. People in Indonesia and Africa, they go through disease. They don't have anything to lose. They're not like Americans that are so blessed, so ungrateful, so pitiful. But I want you to understand something. These people may not have a thing here on earth. They may have buried 5 children already from malaria and dysentery and all these other things. They may be like those folks that went through the Holocaust, those Jewish folks that lost everything just because they were Jewish. But the bottom line is, everyone that has faith can stand up and say, hey, I'm going to make it through this because this is not all there is. Amen. And that's how we're to look at life, our faith. If you don't look at life that way, you're going to get way too hung up on the horizontal things of the world. You're going to think it's way too important, the things you have, what people think about you, etc., etc., etc. And all that's going to do is enlarge your carnal appetite. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be content. You only get satisfied and content, as Jesus says, when you give your life away. And it's just not important whether people know who I am or not. It's just not important whether I've got this or that or the other. The only thing important is Jesus Christ lives in me, and boy, I can make it through anything. Amen. But now notice what he goes on to say. By his faith, in verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his Holy Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing, I know that while I am home in the body, I am absent from the Lord. For I'm walking by faith and not by sight. But I am confident of this very thing I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For this I know. Would you say that with me? For this I know. You know, I've had folks, and these folks go to church all the time. And folks have heard me preach or had dinner with me. And we've discussed spiritual things. And you know what they've said to me? They've said, you know, Brother Leo, I hope you're right. And you know, at times they say to me, you know, Brother Leo, I hope I'm going to heaven. Yeah. And there are other times they'll say, you know, Brother Leo, I do hope God exists. Mm-hmm. Or they'll say, you know, Brother Leo, I hope I've done enough to be saved. Yeah. And that's not faith. Faith is not hoping. Faith is knowing. Yes. With certainty. Yes. Look at what Paul says there. He says, I am confident of this very thing. For this I know, that at the moment I die, I am going to be absent from my body and my spirit is going to be in the presence of God. That is an example of the certainty of faith. And before we go further, go to 1 John chapter 5. And we'll move into what the power of our faith does. Faith is a spiritual entity. It's a gift. It's an energy given to you by God, by which you can perceive, grasp, and apprehend with certainty the unseen realities of God. I'm saying to you right now, I'm saved. You can't see my salvation, but I know I'm saved. Now, you can see the fruits of it. I can't see yours, but you can look me dead in the eye and say, Brother Leo, I know I'm saved. And you should be able to. Look at what it says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that have claimed that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So salvation, which is the prime example of our faith, is a gift from God that we are to know that we possess with certainty. And I can say with Lehman, I've made a lot of mistakes. I don't deserve anything. But I can also say, I know that I've been born again by the power of God. Now, faith is a gift from God. It's a spiritual entity that allows you to know with certainty certain things about the past, the present, and the future, to know that you possess certain things like salvation. But faith takes you even deeper. So go with me to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. And we'll start out in verse 5. We are the people who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When Jesus comes back, if we're alive, we will meet Him in the air. Yes. Now, if He were to come back on a Sunday morning, while folks were in church, in some churches, 50% of those folks would be caught up in the air, 50% would remain seated. In some churches, 90% would be caught up in the air, 10% would remain seated. In some churches, 10% would be caught up and 90% would remain seated. That's his point. When he comes back, that will be the revealing. Okay. At that moment, the dead in Christ shall rise. So there'll be those in the graves that'll come up. Some cemeteries, 50% bodies will come out of the grave alive and glorified. 50% won't. So that's his point. We're ready to be revealed on that last time. Yes, yes. And that day's coming. That's the only way you'll truly know. Because people can fake being a Christian. So that's his point. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you are carrying heavy burdens and you're going through a lot of trials. That the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold. Though it be tried with fire, it's going to be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, if you want to go in the gym and you want to do 5 or 6 sets of 12 reps, and you're doing curls for your bicep, you're going to come out of there and your bicep's going to be stronger. And if you do that for 6 months, you're going to see noticeable improvements, enlargement, and you're going to notice strength gain. Well, he's telling you that the hard times you go through are the exercises for your faith. And that's what strengthens your faith, if you rely on your faith. Now, if you rely on everything horizontal, you've wasted your time in the gym. Now, but notice what he says. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you don't see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to grab that phrase. Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, I still love. Now, what is faith? Faith is the ability to grasp, apprehend, and know with certainty the unseen realities of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I cannot see Jesus Christ right now. But I love him. And not only do I love him, I know where he is. Well, where is he, Brother Leo? He's at the right hand of the throne of God interceding for me. But I want you to understand more. By faith, I love him in a personal, intimate relationship that my faith brings me into the presence of Jesus Christ, the reality of his presence, and my faith brings the reality of the presence of Jesus Christ into me. And you say, what do you mean by all that, Brother Leo? I want to say the same thing Jesus told Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, my Holy Spirit is like the wind. You cannot see the wind, but you can feel and experience the power and the force of the presence of the wind. So what I want you to understand is my faith brings me into experiencing the presence of Jesus Christ in my communion and fellowship with him by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, which is the pneuma, the very breath of God that he breathed from heaven down into my spirit at the moment he saw saving faith in my heart. So faith is a spiritual entity. It is an energy and it is a power that brings me into a communal, intimate, personal relationship with the person of Jesus Christ by his Spirit. So what are you saying, Brother Leo? I'm saying I talk to Jesus. And he hears me. And I'm saying he talks to me. And I need to listen. And I'm saying that I can sense the realness and the reality of his urgings upon my heart and mind, of his impressions upon my heart and mind, of the thoughts that he brings into my heart and mind, of the feelings that he puts within my soul to have compassion and empathy on others, the abilities he helps me to love the unlovely, to forgive what in human ways would be unforgivable. All these experiences I'm telling you are real, and they are going on with the real Holy Spirit, who is the reality of Jesus in me. Now, if you're sitting there wondering about that, it's not real. Yeah, well, I've always gone to church, and everybody in my family, they can't talk like you're talking. They can't express these things. Well, my friend, be the first one in your family that ends up with a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Isaiah said, hell hath enlarged herself. The devil tries to deceive everybody in thinking they're all right. That's his goal. Folks are actually going to stand before the judgment seat and say, I went to church 45 years, taught Sunday school. I was a deacon. And you know what Jesus is going to have to say? The same thing he said in the gospel. Depart from me because we never knew each other. Do you have a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ by the indwelling of the Spirit? It is by your faith. The power, 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Faith is the power to know and love someone I cannot see, but I know he is real. I experience the reality of his presence. I sense and experience his presence, his urgings, his conviction. He is like the wind. By my faith, I know he loves me. By my faith, I know he has a plan for me. I have fellowship and communion with him. My faith takes me into the presence of Jesus Christ, and my faith has brought the presence of Jesus Christ into me. And that's the introduction of faith. Now, I got to tell you the first step. Or then my title would not be apropos. Well, Brother Leo, NFL historian. So go with me to John chapter 10. That's why I told you, Tim, on the website, put part one. Because the Holy Spirit said, ain't no way. I just feel sorry for these guys that have to get their sermons in the mail. Because there ain't enough mail to carry the sermons that the Holy Spirit will just pour out on you all the time. John chapter 10, verse 14 says this. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known by my sheep. Now go to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Let me give you another one out of John 10. In John chapter 10, verse 3, the scripture says, to him the porter opens the gate, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out through life. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice and they hear his voice. But a stranger they will not follow. They will run from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So what is the first step of faith? Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I'll close with this today. Then we'll look at Abraham next week. My sheep hear my voice. They recognize my voice. And they respond to my voice. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Not the logos. Hearing by the rhema of God. And the rhema means to speak. It means a word spoken or a word uttered. R-E-M-A. So what is the first step of faith? The first step of faith is hearing and listening to the voice of God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Leo? I mean this. Jesus says, I know you by name personally. I will speak to you personally about every area in your life. I'll speak to you personally about every storm, every trial, every decision. Who you're to marry, who you're to be involved with, what job you're to take, what job you're not to take. And you will know and recognize my voice. You say, well, Brother Leo, how do we know the voice of God And how do we know the voice of strangers? Same way you know my voice. I called a friend yesterday from Somerville, South Carolina. She and I have been great friends for years. And she had called and I had not been able to take her call. She's turning 70. Great Christian lady. Dear friend of Patty's and our. And when she answered the phone, I said, "Hey, are you busy?" She goes, "No." She goes, "It takes you a week now to get back to me?" And I said, "Yeah, and I'm sorry." And we talked about the hurricane and those kind of things. And you say, "Well, maybe she had caller ID." Maybe she did, but she will recognize my voice. You will recognize my voice. And you say, "Well, Brother Leo, how do we recognize your voice?" Because you have been meeting with me and talking to me for many, many years. You know what they call the tabernacle as it moved through the wilderness where the Jews would go to pray? I taught this Wednesday night. They called it in the Hebrew the tent of meeting. It was a meeting place where they came together to commune and meet with God. The more you talk to a person, the more you get alone with a person, the more you meet with a person, you begin to learn to recognize their voice. And not only to recognize their voice, but to recognize and distinguish it from other folks' voices. I'm going to show you next week where Abraham has to look at his family and look at his friends and say, "I'm packing everything up and I'm going away. I'm leaving my hometown that I've been in for 70 years. I'm leaving the farm. I'm leaving the plantation. And I am going." And they're saying, "Where are you going?" "I don't know yet. But I'm going." And they're going to say, "Why?" And he's going to say, "Because I got a direct word from God. I heard what he said. He told me to get thee out, and so I'm going." And I'm standing here before you today telling you I probably made 5 or 6 major decisions in my life the same way Abraham made that decision. And it gives us a great advantage in life. But if you're sitting here today or listening on this website and you say, "You know, I don't think I've ever heard the voice of God." Well, I want to tell you something. It's not His fault, because every moment you're awake, the Lord is trying to speak to you. And He's got something to say to you. And He wants to help you and guide you and lead you. But you got to give Him that 30 minutes before the sun rises, and you got to give Him that 30 minutes before it sets, and you got to come to a place in life where by a consistency of communal meeting, you can go to God and say, "God, what do we need to do about this? What's the first step? Where do I need to go? How do I need to handle it?" And you need to stay there until you recognize with certainty that the voice of God has said this. And so to operate in the energy of your faith, the first step is you got to learn how to hear God and to hear His voice. "Well, you know, Brother Leo, I've always done fine. And I've not consulted God about this." Get on your knees tonight and thank God for His mercy. Because by the grace of God, your life's not a disaster. "Well, I don't think you need to bring everything for the Lord." The very hair on your head is numbered. He knows every intimate detail of your life. And if you don't think you need to bother Him with this area of your life, then He's not Lord of that area of your life. And if you don't think you need to bother Him with this area of your life, He's not Lord with that area of your life. And I've got this very thing in these notes that we're not going to get to today. And it's this. The voice of God, it must be developed, nurtured, honed, sharpened to where you hear the voice of God, because most people out of disobedience run from having a conversation with God because He might tell them like Abraham, "Sell everything and come and follow me." So confess to God your selfishness and your greediness and your ignorance. Because if God wants you to have nothing, it'll be a whole lot better than having what you got now. "Oh, Brother Leo, how many people can live that way?" That's living by faith. People are scared to ask God, because He'll give them the answer. And that's an ignorant way to live, because I don't know if you believe this or not, but by faith I can tell you with a surety, God knows better what to do with my life than I do. So we'll develop that area of trust in the weeks ahead. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Judy's going to play softly for just a few moments. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me about, Lord Jesus, help me deepen and sharpen my communal relationship with you, by which I can hear and recognize your voice in this situation. Bring the situation before him that you're dealing with right now and say, Lord, in the days ahead, I'm going to have conversations with you about this. And Lord Jesus, I need to hear a directive from you. I need to hear a word from you about how you want this thing handled or taken care of. What decision needs to be made? Ask the Lord right now, Lord, what situation? We studied Wednesday night about presenting ourselves before the Lord. That simply means, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Just getting along with Him and saying, here I am, Lord. I'm going to ask you to do that right now. Say, Lord Jesus, what area in my life, what situation do I need a word from you about? And Lord, I'm going to keep talking to you this week and beyond if need be to get that guidance and direction from you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's spend a few moments with Jesus.